Amen. All right. Well, thank you very much for being here tonight. And it is my honor to be here at this conference and being able to preach the first sermon. And I've never been to Florida. It's my first time in Florida. It's my first time in Orlando. I feel like I've got a connection to the city, though. And I feel right at home. And, you know, if there's a lot of pressure when you come to a place like this, a conference like this. I've got some of the greatest preachers in America sitting behind me. I've got some of the greatest preachers in America sitting before me. And it helps me to know that if I don't preach a good sermon tonight, it's Brother Shane's fault. So that's wonderful. That helps me, of course. And I'm glad you're here. We are here at the Make America Straight Again conference. And this is a conference dedicated to the proclamation of the reprobate doctrine. And tonight what I'd like to do is I'd like to just explain to you why we must preach this doctrine, why it is that it is important for us to teach, preach, proclaim, make sure people understand the reprobate doctrine. And you might be asked this. Now, I know you know why it's important, otherwise you wouldn't be here. But you might have family members, you might have fellow church members, you might have friends and co-workers that might wonder and say, why even have a conference dedicated to the doctrine of being a reprobate? Why have a Make America Straight Again conference? So what I'd like to do is just kind of set the tone for the rest of the sermons coming up. And I want to explain to you why preach the reprobate doctrine, why we must preach the reprobate doctrine. Now, the first point to this tonight is obvious, and it is to make America straight again. And it's the title of the conference, and that is the reason that we're here. And here's what you need to understand. There is a reprobate problem in the United States of America. And here's what you need to understand. When we say that, when we talk about the homosexuals, when we talk about the sodomites, when we talk about these individuals, what we're talking about is reprobates. Because the sin of homosexuality is not a sin like every other sin. Now, today, many Christians want you to believe that. Many pastors want you to believe that it's a sin like any other sin. We bring in homosexuals into church just like we bring any other type of sinner. But this is not what the Bible teaches. You're there in Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 24. Notice what the Bible says. It says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Notice what it says. Through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies. See, what they're doing, the Bible says, it's dishonoring their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. We'll come back to that verse in a second. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up, notice these words, unto vile affection. Notice how God describes this sin. It is vile, for even their women did change. And here's what I really want you to notice, and here's what I really want you to grasp. And in fact, if you don't mind writing or underlining in your Bible, maybe you can underline these words. The natural use. The Bible says that even their women did change the natural use into that which is, you might want to underline these words, against nature. See, there are sins that are natural. There are sins that are normal. We're not condoning them. We are not minimizing them. We are not making excuses for them. But there are sins that all of us do as normal human beings. We've got a sin nature, and our flesh desires to sin. But there are certain sins, the Bible tells us, that are unnatural sin. That when you go into them, you are going against nature. Verse 27, and likewise also the men leaving, notice again, the natural use of the woman. Notice what it says, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, working that which is not something that you would normally see, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And I learned from Pastor Anderson, you just write right next to that verse, you write the word AIDS. Yeah. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to, notice what it says, a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, to do those things which do not come naturally, to do those things which are not normal. And here's what you need to understand. There are certain sins that are not normal sins. Look, normal people do not desire these unnatural sins. And in fact, it's not just homosexuality. It's not just the sin of sodomy. I mean, you can go back to Leviticus 18, and we will, but not yet. But you can go back to Leviticus 18, and you can look at different sins that are mentioned there, that are abominations, and you can look at sins like incest and sodomy and bestiality. We throw in there pedophilia. You say, why? Here's why. Because it's not normal for a man to desire to be with a child. It's not normal for a man to desire to be with another man. It's not normal for a man to desire, for a woman to desire, for a woman that looks like a man to desire to want to be with another woman. It's not normal for a human to want to be with an animal. And look, these are not normal sins. In fact, they're the exact opposite. They are unnatural sins. These are sins that go against nature. These are sins that are not convenient. These are sins that are unseemly. And today, in the United States of America, we are seeing a reprobate problem. I mean, you can't check your email. You know, I don't know how your email works, but when I check my email, it gives me the news updates and things like that. You can't check your email without finding out some sodomites molesting a kid in this state or this church or that church. We've got a reprobate problem. So you say, well, why would we even have a conference to shed light on this? Here's why. Because we're literally trying to make America straight again. Amen. We're trying to bring a warning of this doctrine of the reprobates. Why? Because look, when someone goes into these unnatural sins, it tells us, it shows us, it is a fruit of the fact that they've been given over to a reprobate mind. Now, we talked about the reprobate problem. Let's talk about the reprobate process. You're there in Romans chapter 1. And what I really want to do is just kind of go through Romans 1 with you and explain this to you. Make sure you understand it. How does somebody become a reprobate? Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Here's what you need to understand. There are several steps that the Apostle Paul teaches us here in Romans chapter 1. The first one is this. They knew God. They knew God. Romans 1:18 says this. For the wrath of God is, notice this word, revealed. The word revealed means it's made known. It means to disclose, to reveal, to open up. And the Bible tells us here that the wrath of God is revealed. You say, where is the wrath of God revealed? It's revealed from heaven. It's revealed through nature. Against all unrighteousness, all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, notice, who hold the truth. And I want you to understand this. Here you have the Apostle Paul. He's talking about individuals, and these people, they're not necessarily saved. They're for sure not saved, but they haven't necessarily been exposed to Christianity. He's not talking about the fact that they've necessarily been exposed to the gospel, but here's what he's saying. Everyone has been exposed to God. Everyone can look up in the heavens and realize and know intuitively that there is a God. Why? Because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Because we all hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that, notice what it says, verse 19. That which may be known of God is manifest. The word manifest means it's made known in them. For God has showed it unto them. We'll come back to that in a second, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the, notice, creation of the world are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Here's what I want you to understand. They knew God. That's the process. And you say, well, how did they know God? Well, God reveals himself through creation. And look, everyone can look at creation and realize that there is a God. The only people who believe that there is no God, they did not come up with that on their own. They didn't come out of the womb with that. They didn't just grow up as a child and think, oh, there is no God. They got that because they learned that somewhere, like at a college or a university. They didn't just come up with that. Because but the Bible tells us that God reveals himself through creation. But not only that, I want you to notice that God reveals himself through conscience. Notice verse 19. Because that which may be known, again, talking about the knowledge of God, is manifest, is readily perceived, is evident, is apparent. Notice, in them. It's in them. For God hath showed it unto them. You say, well, what is that referring to? That is referring to their conscience. You're there in Romans chapter 1. Just flip one page over to Romans chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Not only does God reveal himself through creation, but God reveals himself through conscience, through the fact that every human being is born with a conscience that tells him that there is a God, that tells him just intuitively what's right or wrong. Look, everybody knows it's wrong to kill somebody. Romans 2:14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law. These are people that were not exposed. They did not get the oracles of God. They did not receive the laws of God. They were not aware of the laws that God gave Moses and the laws that God gave his people. He says, the Gentiles, which have not the law, notice, do by nature. Now, we just read about those who do against nature. Now we're reading about those who by nature, this is everybody else, this is everyone who's not a reprobate, do by nature the things contained in the law. These, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Notice, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Here's what we learn, that God reveals himself through creation. God reveals himself through conscience, and for that reason, everyone knows of God. They knew God. This is why the Bible says, this is why Paul said, if you go back to Romans 1 and verse 20, look at the last four words in verse 20, he says, or the last phrase there, six words, he says, so that they are, notice these words, without excuse. Now look, I want you to understand this. They knew God. You said, well, they didn't get the gospel. Okay, but they knew God. Well, nobody explained to them the Romans wrote. Okay, but they had a conscience. They saw creation. They intuitively knew. God wrote his law in their heart. They knew that there was a God. The first step, you said, the first step down this road is that they knew God. And by the way, everyone gets on that step because everyone is born with a conscience and everyone can look at creation and everyone knows that there is a God. Amen. But here's the next step. They choose to reject God. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, so look, it's not that they didn't know God. They knew God, but what did they do? They glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Verse 23, notice, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men. These are your Hindus. But you know what? It's also your evolutionists. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, who changed the truth. They hold the truth, but they changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Notice verse 28. And even as, just notice these words, they did not like to retain God and their knowledge. Now look, you need to understand this. It's not that they rejected the gospel. It's worse than that. It's just that they rejected God. It's just that God intuitively put in their heart, in their conscience, that there is a God, that there is a creator. They can look at creation and realize that we didn't just come from an explosion. This was not just an accident. There is a God who created us, but they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So they knew God, and look, everybody knows God. And they rejected God. You say, and what happens? Well, then God eventually rejects them. Romans 1:21, notice what it says. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Notice, and their foolish heart was darkened. Look at verse 24, wherefore. The word wherefore means for that reason. For what reason? Because they knew God and they glorified him not as God. Because they held the truth, but they changed the truth of God into a lie. He says, wherefore, God also... Now, I feel like this crowd is kind of not that excited. So I'm being sarcastic, all right? I'm gonna ask you men to help me out a little bit, all right? You guys, can you do that for me? I'm going to ask you to read the next three words with me, all right? I'll tell you when to read. Romans 1:24 says, wherefore God also, read the next three words with me, gave them up. All right, that was pretty good for Presbyterians. maybe I should ask the ladies. No, let's try it again. Let's try it again. Let's read those words. Wherefore God also, read those three words with me,
gave them up.
There you go. Notice what he says. Gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God, help me out. What does it say? Gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was me. Notice what it says, verse 28. And even as... Okay, this wasn't God first. This is not a Calvinist teaching.
Right. Yeah.
He says, in the same way that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God, what's it say?
Gave them over.
Oh, but Pastor Jimenez, my pastor says God doesn't give up on anybody. Well, Paul apparently didn't get that memo. Because he says God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them over to what? To a reprobate mind. That word reprobate means rejected to do those things which are not convenient. Here's what you need to understand. There is a reprobate problem in the United States of America today. It's not just California. We've got the problem in California. I'll own that. I'll do my best to try to stop that out there. But you know what? I had a queer give me the car here too. All right? And you've got them in Texas too, all right? And you've got them in the South, and they're everywhere. And you say, well, what's the problem? What's the problem? It's not a homosexual problem. That's just the fruit. That's not the root. That's just a symptom. That's not the sickness. You say, what's the problem? The problem is this, that we have a society who knew God and glorified Him not as God. They held the truth of God in unrighteousness, and they changed it into a lie. And here's all I'm telling you. When you reject God, and you reject God, and you reject God, eventually He might reject you. People say to us, why do you guys have to preach this reprobate doctrine? Why can't you just preach the gospel? Why can't you just stick to the gospel? Why do you have to preach about the reprobate? Why do you have to preach about the homeless? Okay, how about this for the gospel? Get saved, because if you reject God enough, He might reject you. Say, oh, you guys shouldn't preach the reprobate doctrine. You should stick to the gospel. Hey, you can lose the opportunity to be saved. That's part of the gospel. Man, I didn't go to Bible college, but I if I was teaching a soteriology class, the doctrine of salvation, I think they'd cover becoming a reprobate. Because you can, if you reject God and you reject God and you reject God and you reject God, eventually He might reject you and give you over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are unseemly, to do those things which are against nature. So you say, well, Pastor Jimenez, what is it exactly that you guys are trying to accomplish here at this conference? Well, we want to teach and we want to preach the reprobate doctrine to make America straight again. But that's not the only reason. There's a second reason why we would preach this doctrine. Now, look, that's a good enough reason. If we can get the queers to go back into the closet, that'd be great. I mean, if we can get the government to actually do what it's supposed to do and put them to death, that'd be amazing. But I wouldn't hold my breath on that one. All right, you'll have to wait till the millennial reign for that one. But if we can just get them to go back into their shameful closets, go back into the dark where we don't have to see them, where we don't have to deal with them, that'd be good enough. Hey, why preach the reprobate doctrine to make America straight again? But there's a second reason. You say, why is it? Well, we must preach it to make America straight again. But you know what? We must preach it to make America sane again.
Amen.
Say, what do you mean? Well, look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate. And I want you to notice where the focus of the Apostle Paul is here. He says, mind. Please understand this. It is not normal. It is not natural. There is something wrong in your head. There is something wrong in your mind. There is something wrong in your thinking to be attracted, to be a man that's attracted to another hairy, stinky, ugly man.
Right.
Something wrong with that. And he says they've been given over to a reprobate mind. Now, Jeremiah 6:30, you have to turn there, tells us, reprobate silver shall men call them because the Lord hath rejected them. The Bible defines the word reprobate as being rejected. By the way, so does the dictionary. Everybody agrees on the definition of the word reprobate except for Independent Fundamental Baptist for some reason. He says he gave them over, and we focus on the reprobate, and we should, but notice, it's a reprobate mind. It's a rejected mind, because listen to me, listen, it is insane to think that it's fine for a person to have a physical relationship with an animal. It is insane to think that it's fine for a woman to have a physical relationship with another woman, for a man to have a physical relationship with another man. And look, we're heading in this direction. It is insane to think that it's fine for an adult to have a relationship with a child. And that's the next step. And that's where we're headed. And it's insanity. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You can find the T-books. They're all clustered together towards the end of the New Testament there. You've got 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, 1st Timothy chapter 4. Am I on this or can I walk around?
I think you're not on.
I'm not on? It's green. I can walk around? All right. I'm already comfortable here, but 1st Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's where we're living today, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Notice what it says, having their conscience. Remember, we have our conscience by nature. The reprobates do that which is against nature. You say, how do they do that? How can they do that? Here's why. Because they have had their conscience seared with a hot iron. That word seared means to make callous, to make unfeeling, to harden. Please understand this. The media has done a good job at making you think that these bunch of homos are just happy-go-lucky. They're just a little flamboyant. They're just kind of funny. They're quirky. They're nice. The Bible says that their conscience has been seared. That inner thing that God put inside of them, that inner voice that says, no, that's too much. No, that's too far. No, that's wrong. The Bible says they don't have that. Their conscience has been seared. That's what it means to have a reprobate mind. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You're there in 1 Timothy. Just flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. Notice what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8 says this. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these. Talking about reprobates. Notice what it says. So do these also resist the truth. Look, it's not that they didn't have the truth. They held the truth. They turned the truth of God into a lie. They resist the truth. And they are, notice what it says, men of what? Corrupt minds. Reprobate concerning the faith. Look, they're insane. And they're leading, and they're not insane like, I don't know what I'm doing. They're insane like a psychopath insane. They're insane like they know exactly what they're doing, they just don't care. They're insane like they know exactly who they're hurting. It just doesn't bother them. You take something from work and it bothers your conscience. You got to bring it back, you know, in a way where the boss doesn't see it. You say, why? Because you're normal. You're a sinner, but you're normal. These people, they have no conscience. Look, they'll kill you and it won't bother them. They'll molest your kids and it won't bother them. They'll go to bed with men, with women, with animals. They'll do whatever, and it won't bother them. Why? Because their conscience is seared. Because they're men of corrupt mind. Because they've been given over. They're not just rejected. Yes, they are rejected, but their minds have been given over to a reprobate mind. To do those things which are unseemly, which are not convenient, which are not normal. Go to Titus chapter 1. You're there in 2 Timothy 3. Go to Titus chapter 1. Look at verse 15. Titus chapter 1. Verse number 15, Titus 1:15 says this, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, notice what it says, but even their mind and conscience. Notice how these things are connected. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God. That's your Roman Catholic priest. But in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work, don't miss it, reprobate. See, a reprobate has had their mind and their conscience defiled. They are insane. And please understand this. Not only are they insane, they are leading the rest of us into insanity. They are now brainwashing your children in the public school to teach them from a young age. It's okay. It's normal. In fact, you might be one. In fact, you should try it. We know you think it's disgusting. We know you think it makes you want to throw up in your mouth. We know you think it's not normal. But you ought to try it. This is what they're telling little children. You ought to try it just in case. You say, why? Because it's insane. It's insanity. Why? Because it's crazy. And here's what I'm telling you. You say, well, why preach? Why have a Make America Straight Again conference? Why preach against the reprobate doctrine? Why highlight it? Why teach it? Why bring all these men of God into this city and have them teach sermons on this doctrine? Why do we need to be educated? Here's why. Because we want to make America straight again, yes. But we also want to make America sane again. Amen. Where normal people are back in control and say, no, that's weird. Amen. It's wrong. It's wicked. Amen. And look, here's what I know. Here's what I know. Even unsaved people know it's weird. I mean, the media has them all scared, and I'm not mad at unsaved people. I mean, if so-called preachers are too scared to talk about it, good night. I'm not going to expect just some unsaved guy to take the stand. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. You know, when we had this big protest back in 2016 connected to this city and the Pulse nightclub and all that, and we had people hating on us, we had people, people yelling at me in restaurants, we had people bad-mouthing me in public, but you know what? I had normal people walking up to me saying, can I shake your hand? Can I take a picture with you? We're standing with you. People walking up to me saying, I'm not even a Christian, and I think it's weird. You say, why? Because naturally, we know it's wrong. You say, why preach like this? Why preach this sermon? Why preach this conference? Why have this? Well, we need to make America straight again. And we need to make America sane again. But if you'd allow me, I'd like to give you a third reason. Why preach the reprobate doctrine? To make America safe again. You say, well, what's the big deal? I mean, let them do what they're going to do, and as long as they're not bothering anybody. See, here's the problem. These people are extremely dangerous. Yes. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 29. Notice what the Bible says. See, if it were true that we could just kind of, well, leave them alone, just let them do what they're going to do behind closed doors, it's not bothering us. Isn't that what everybody's saying? Why do you have to pick on them? Why do you have to fight them? If that were true, hey, if that were true, then praise the Lord. Let's put them all on a tropical island somewhere. Hey, I'll raise the money. Let's put them in some tropical island somewhere. Let's put them all over there and just let them die off. They're not going to reproduce. If that were true. But here's the thing, it's not true. Because, see, when someone has been given to a reprobate mind, when someone has had their conscience seared, when someone is to the point where there is nothing they won't do, nothing that will hold them back, they won't just become a homosexual. They'll attack you. They'll hurt you. These people are extremely dangerous. Romans 1:29, notice what it says. Being filled with all. Now, I want you to notice that phrase, being filled with all. Because here you have a list of the things that that Paul tells us these people do. And you look at this list and it says unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors, evil things, disobedient to parents. And they'll scoff at us and say, well, look, it says disobedient to parents. Well, look, it says proud and boasters. Well, look, it says fornication. I mean, if you're fornicated, does that make you a reprobate? But look, before you get into the list, realize what he says. He doesn't say that these are things that they do. Here's what he's saying. Being filled. You know what it means to be filled? Being filled with, you, notice this word, all. Now, for those of you that need it, I didn't go to Bible college. But for those of you that need it, if you go back to the Greek, you know what that word all means? It means all. That might help the Calvinists too a little bit. Being filled with all. See, you say, what's the problem with the reprobate? Here's the problem with the reprobate. You say, well, somebody could be a fornicator. Somebody could be disobedient to children. Here's what the Bible tells us. They do this all. It's not that they do some of these things. They do all these things. Your quirky little coworker you work with, and he's so cute and he's so funny. If you really got to know, and I'm not telling you to do this, but please don't do this, but if you followed him home, if you followed him on the weekend, I've got it on the authority of the Word of God, and I don't care what the media says,
I don't care what Baptist preachers say. I don't care what the world wants to tell us. I've got it on the authority of the Bible that this is what these people do. There's unrighteousness. There's fornication. There's wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. You know what it means to be malicious? It means desiring to inflict injury, harm, or suffering on others. This is what they all do. This is their MO. They desire to inflict injury. They desire to harm others, to suffer others, full of envy, murder. This is what they all do. Please get this. This is what they all do. Debate, deceit, malignity. Malignity means to speak evil or harmful things. Whisperers. This is what they all do. Backbiters. Haters of God. Listen to me. They're all filled with hatred towards God. Oh, no, well, I got a sodomite in my church. He loves God. He's just struggling with sin. No, he's a hater of God. Look, Christians are going to have to decide, do we believe the Bible or not? Do we believe the Word of God or not? Because when I read the Bible, now look, we're just focusing on Romans 1. You wait till this conference is over. But if you want to read the Bible and find out what God thinks about sodomites, I mean, read Genesis 19, read Judges 19, read the Old Testament, read the New Testament. It's a consistent theme. These people are predators, they're rapists, they're given over to a reprobate, conscience-seared mind. Amen. And they will hurt you, and they will hurt your children. They are haters of God. You say, you shouldn't hate anybody. Well, look, they hate God. We just sang it. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Oh, you're supposed to hate your enemies. They're not my enemies. They're the enemies of God. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. Amen. I count them mine enemies. Yeah. Why? Because they're haters of God. Why? Because they're despiteful. It means to be spiteful, malicious, proud, boasters, investors of evil things, disobedience to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. Notice, don't miss this. Without natural affection. Yeah. You know that human beings have natural affection? You know that a baby is born and they just naturally have affection towards mom? Yes. Dad? Yes. You know that human beings will naturally, they'll see somebody get hurt and they'll naturally just feel bad? It's called empathy. The Bible tells us that they're without natural affection. They lack empathy. Implacable. It means they will not be appeased. They will not be pacified. They will not be satisfied. Unmerciful. They will show no mercy. Now here's what's interesting, and we did a whole documentary on this, and you can look it up on YouTube if you'd like. But here's what's interesting. The world gets mad at us for standing up and saying, hey, did you know that there are people in this world who have no conscience and have no empathy? They are dangerous, and there's no way to solve their problem. There's no way to reform them. There's no way to fix them. They're a lost cause. And the world looks at us and says, you're crazy. You're hateful. You're a hate preacher. You know what's funny, though? Here's what's funny is that the world has very well-respected, well-educated by the world standards, people out there called psychiatrists, and psychologists, and you know what psychiatrists and psychologists will tell you? They'll tell you, hey, there are people in this world who have no conscience and they have no empathy. They will kill you. They will rape your children. They will be serial rapists and serial killers. They won't feel bad about it. They will rape at night and go to work the next day and just be the most lovable, the most handsome, the most charming guy. And they call them psychopaths. And then the world's like, oh, yeah, of course. I was married to one. And then we're like, hey, the Bible teaches that there's people without a conscience and without empathy. And they're like, you're hateful. But you know what? They're psychopath reprobates. And there's no new thing under the sun. And it's not that the Bible is catching up to scientists. It's that scientists are finally catching up to the Word of God. He says they're hateful. They're despiteful. And look, we as Christians, and I realize it's not we as Christians, but Christianity in the United States of America is going to have to decide, do you believe the Bible or not? Because this is what the Bible says. Now you show me one verse in the Bible where a sodomite repents and gets saved. Show me one. You can't find it. But I can show you verse after verse after verse where they're defiling.
where they're raping, where they're lying, where they're killing. You say, why? Because look, this is what the Bible teaches. This is what the Word of God says. And you know, we're going to have to decide, like Jehu told Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Look, we're gonna have to, Christianity is just going to have to figure this out. And look, I think a lot of Christians, it's fine. You want to be some fag hag, queer-loving Baptist that says, bring them in, we'll love them, we'll let them teach Sunday school. You want to be that, that's fine. But you're going to have to decide. You're going to have to decide that I do not believe the Bible. Because this is not what the Bible teaches about these people. And then they say to us, well, Jesus never mentioned sodomy. And I think to myself, that you know, that argument doesn't help you. That actually helps me. Because you know that Jesus came into a culture that already had a religious Mosaic law. Now the Bible says that Jesus said that he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. You know that Jesus quoted? You know that Jesus quoted Moses? You know that Jesus quoted the Old Testament? I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but do you know that as you read through the Gospels, you might find this out about Jesus? He had no problem. He was not gun-shy at all. He had no problem telling people what they were doing wrong. He had no problem telling them, hey, you are twisting scripture here. You are taking something out of context. You're turning something that wasn't supposed to be that into... He had no problem with that. So the fact that Jesus shows up and says nothing about it means he must have been happy with it. He must have agreed with Moses. Well, Jesus never mentioned sodomy, so he must condone it. Oh, really? Well, he never mentioned incest either. Did he condone that? He never mentioned bestiality either. Did he condone that? I can't think of where he mentioned kidnapping children, but did he condone that? Say, Jesus never mentioned sodomy. Well, then he must have been happy with the book of Leviticus. Amen. Well, then he must have been happy with the biblical teaching on sodomites and reprobates. You say, why? Here's why. These people are dangerous. You say, why preach on this? Because, we're trying to make America safe again. They are dangerous. And let me just say this, they are worthy of death. Yeah. Romans 1:32, notice what the Bible says. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. You guys are just trying to follow the Old Testament. Now look, I didn't go to Bible college. I told you that already. I didn't take a dispensational class. But I'm pretty sure Romans is in the New Testament. They which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You say, why would God say that they're worthy of death? Because look, there's no bringing them back. They're done. They've been given over to a reprobate mind. There's no bringing them back. There's no reforming them. There's no camp you can send them to. There's no book you can have them read. All you can do is put them to death. And look, this is why they hate us. And let me just make it clear. Let me go ahead and give the disclaimer. We are not advocating that you go out there and have violence against sodomites. Look, that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that this is something that the government should do. And look, there's another thing that Christians are just going to have to come to grips with. The God of the Bible, when he had his way, when he established a government, he said, okay, we're going to do it my way, and we're going to hear the laws and hear the rules. He put the death penalty on homosexuality. You say, why? Because that's how he felt about it. Amen. And look, we don't live under that righteous government. We're not advocating taking the law into your hands. But here's what we're saying. Here's what we're saying. If the government would put them to death, it would make America safe again. Amen. And here's all we're saying is that when they die, we don't feel bad about it. When they die, we're not going to trip all over ourselves trying to apologize for it. When they die, we don't care. Years ago, go to Leviticus chapter 18. A few years ago, I got in a lot of trouble. Because a bunch of these homos died right here. They're just down the street, I think. I don't know. And I stood up and I said, I don't care. Good. You're like, how could you say that? Well, look, when you understand that a homosexual, a sodomite, a fag, a queer, in a gay club has been given over to a reprobate mind, they would be a pedophile, they would be a rapist, they would be a predator, they would go into bestiality, they are a psychopath, they are dangerous. And this is all I said. I said, look, if you want to ask me if I'm sad that 50 homosexuals died, I'm not sad. And look, here we are 3 years later in Orlando, Florida. And just in case if you're wondering, just in case I haven't made it clear, you want to know, Pastor Jimenez, are you regretting anything you said? Are you retracting anything you said? Have you come to Orlando, Florida to give a formal apology? I just tell you this. I'm still happy about it. Because you're asking me, well, 50 homosexuals die. That's like asking me if 50 pedophiles die. And if you're asking me, are you sad that 50 pedophiles die? The answer is no. Society's better for it. It's good. It's right. It's great. I think it helps society. I think Orlando, Florida is still safer tonight. You say, why preach this? Why teach this? Why? Because we need to make America safe again. And you know what? If they're not going to put them to death, can we at least stop them from coming into our churches? Yeah. If the government's not going to put them to death, can we at least not give them access to our children? Yeah. If the government's not going to put them to death, can we at least make sure that our people are guarded and safe and realize these people have no conscience and no empathy? Right. They are dangerous and they are worthy of death. Now, here's what people will say to us. They'll say, you are so unloving. You are so hateful. When did hate become a bad word? Leviticus 18, look at verse 22. Notice what the Bible says. Leviticus 18, 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind. This is God speaking to a man. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. You say, why? It is abomination. This is what God thinks of it. And then a couple of chapters later, in chapter 20, verse 13, you've got the infamous verse. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And today you've got your liberal Christians saying, we got to get rid of Leviticus. We got to be done with Leviticus. Let's not preach out of Leviticus. Leviticus is hateful. Leviticus was for a different time, for a different group, for a different people. Here's the problem with that. If you're going to get rid of Leviticus chapter 18, and you're going to get rid of Leviticus chapter 20, then you better be consistent and get rid of Leviticus chapter 19. And here's the problem with that, is that Leviticus 19 is probably the same liberals who hate chapter 18, and the same liberals who hate chapter 20, they probably quote Leviticus 19 more than anybody else, and they don't even know it. Because Jesus quoted a lot out of Leviticus. Leviticus 19, verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And I've often thought to myself, why would God put two of the most hateful verses in the Bible and then just sandwich them in with one of the most loving verses in the Bible? Here's why. Because when the Bible says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lies with woman, both of them have committed abominations, they shall surely be put to death. That's the most loving thing that a society could do. That's right. Why don't you preach love? I'm trying to preach love. Why don't you preach, love thy neighbor as thyself? I'm trying to love my neighbor as myself, because the most loving thing I could do is tell my neighbor, hey, your homosexual brother-in-law has no conscience. They're a pervert and a predator. Don't allow them around your children. That's the most loving. Look, I'm preaching love. I'm not a hater. I'm the most loving preacher you've seen. These are the most loving preachers you've ever seen. So much love, I can't stand it. These guys are so stinking liberal with all their love. Because look, understand this. Love hates. Amen. Love hates. Amen. Ah, I love everything. Then you love nothing. Yeah.
I love everyone. Then you love no one. Because look, here's the thing. I love children. I love my children. I love your children. So I'm going to hate the filthy, faggot, pedophile that would molest them. I love truth, so I'm going to hate lie. Look, you can't love everything. We love everyone. You love no one. Because love, true love, hates. So God says, hey, I hate the homo. Love thy neighbor. Put the homo to death. You say, why? Because this is the most loving thing you can do for society. You say, why would you preach this? Why would you come here? Why would you say these things? Because we need to make America straight again. There's a reprobate problem in our country. There's a reprobate problem in our country. They're coming out of the closet, but you know what? It just seems to me like there's more and more and more and more of them. You say, where are they coming from? There's just more and more people who know God and are choosing to reject God. That's where they're coming from. So why preach this? To make America straight again. Why preach this? To warn people that these unnatural acts are not the sickness, they are the symptoms of the sickness. Yes. They're not the root, they are the fruit of the root. Their conscience has been defiled. Their mind has been defiled. Their conscience has been seared. They have a corrupt mind. Yes. Yeah, right. Say, why preach this? To make America sane again. You say, why preach this? Why rejoice over the death of homos to make America safe again? Amen. That's our goal. That's why we're here. So don't shy away from the Word of God. Amen. You're not loving. You know what? We go out and we preach the gospel to people in an attempt to keep everyone from going down this road of becoming a reprobate. Don't let them scare you. Don't let them try to push you around and say, well, you know, I don't know what I should. You know what? Stand up and be counted and be bold. Amen. And when Christians stand against you, you put the Bible in their face and you say, you choose. Do you believe the Bible or not? Yes. Show me the verse where the pink tie wearing homo gets saved. The lavender shirt, polka dots. Show me where that guy gets saved. Because you can't find it. And I can show you Romans 1. I can show you Genesis 19. I can show you Judges 19. This is what the Bible says. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for a group of Christians, Bible-believing Christians, who would come out to a conference to stand and to be counted, Lord, because we are in a battle. And we didn't choose this battle. It's the battle that's before us. There is a reprobate problem in this country. There's a reprobate problem in this world. We understand it's going to get worse and worse as we get closer to the end times, and men will wax worse and worse, and the latter days will come, and they'll be given over, and they'll have a seared conscience. We understand that. But Lord, help us to stand up and to be counted with the Word of God. I pray that you would encourage us, Lord, that we would leave here motivated to make America, to make our nation, to make our state, our cities, our communities safe again and sane again and straight again. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.